afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, October 13th, 2017. We haven't had an October 13th in quite a while, I think, Alfred.
Not since last October.
Not since...
October 13th. You didn't say Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
October the 13th. We actually have an October 13th every month.
Would you quit being so picky?
Every October.
Friday the 13th. Ooh. Would be the only reason I would reference it, Alfred.
No, it's because you get a percentage off Pogo.
Really?
If you bring up this Friday the 13th thing, it brings back Pogo.
It does?
Yes.
Okay.
Used to say that it was Thursday the 12th, and that was almost as bad as Friday the 13th or whatever.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All righty, Al. Moving right along. We have gold had a nice couple buck pop at the still trading in New York spot price aftermarket, up almost $10, up $9.40 at $13.03. We have silver up 14 cents today at $17.47. Platinum is up $8.950, and palladium is up 15 at $989. We have the USDX today is a little bit weaker, 0.02 at 93.08. Crude oil's up 0.78 at 51.38. And the paper markets today, once again, I think the NASDAQ and the S&P hit records. Let's go ahead and pull them up and see what they have to say. The Dow was up 32 points today at 22,873. The NASDAQ was up 14 at 66.05. The S&P was up 2 at 25.53. 10-year yield pressure on that, 0.04 at 2.28%. And the euro was weaker also, 0.112 to the downside at 1.18. European markets and Asians, mixed bag. Couple things going on in the markets, and I think there's a couple reports today. You had the Commerce Department today said retail sales jumped 1.6% last month, also buoyed by a surge in receipts at service stations, which actually reflected the higher gasoline prices that we all saw after Hurricane Harvey, and it had interrupted the production of oil refineries in the Gulf Coast. Data for August was revised to show sales slipping 0.1% instead of the previous reported 0.2% drop. So it's still not a good report for August, and it seems like last month is mainly due to the hurricanes. Sales at gardening and building material stores increased 2.1% last month. That's the biggest since February. Receipts at auto dealerships, of course, that soared to 3.6%. And you know, as residents replaced their flood damaged vehicles, and that was the largest rise since 2015 of March. But if you exclude those automobiles, gasoline, building materials, and food services, retail sales increased 0.4% last month after being unchanged. So, you know, you take out the hurricanes, it doesn't seem like we're on a path of excitement in the economy based on if you look at everything else, the numbers that are provided to us, it seems. Again, there isn't anything that makes a whole lot of sense. You had consumer confidence today. You know, I guess that hit another 13. Let's see if I can pull it up here. It's 13-year high. Americans' perception of the economy and their finances rebounded. I was telling Al before we came on, I just find that so hard to believe. You had 4 or 5 weeks of nothing but watching total devastation happen to Houston and other cities of Florida. And it isn't just the time that the hurricanes were hitting the cities. It was a week up, you know, of preparing, you know, 24/7 of a minute by minute details of where these hurricanes were, and then you have Puerto Rico, then you have the fires, you had Las Vegas. It's hard to believe that you can't, that people separate the economy from all this devastation that they've been experiencing. So you think it put a little bit of a damper on people's, confidence, sentiments, you'd think. But you know what?
Sometimes they call it the Goldilocks economy, Melody, but maybe it's the marijuana economy. They've legalized pot. Maybe that explains why people are complacent.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe we just live in such a society where our movies are violent, everything we watch, our TV programs, games that the kid, maybe we're just gotten to that point where, it just doesn't affect people anymore. It's, I see it every day in a movie. This might be real life, but anyway, I don't know.
I think the big thing is that the stock market continues to rise, and it seems to be indifferent to whatever goes on in society within the nation itself. And I think we've talked about it in the past, and I think the reason for this may be that the stock market is predominantly computerized right now. We don't have people there to get hysterical when there's and make prices fall or rise or whatever, move with great volatility when we have a hurricane or when we have some sort of a shooting or whatever. The computers are just managing this stuff, and it creates an illusion of complacency that is at least unjustified. Well, I don't believe it's justified, and
how
long can it last?
But they can still sell, so to some degree, it is. The people are keeping it at these levels to some degree. U.S. states are planning to sue and trying to block President Trump's Obamacare subsidies cut. He is halting some Obamacare subsidies, and the comment is a big money saver for taxpayers. Right? Wrong. The move could actually force the government to dole out almost $200 billion more in health insurance over the next decade. Here's why: the insurer payouts Trump cut off aren't the only government funds financing the program. Consumers also can get help with their insurance premiums. When the insurer subsidies are discontinued, those premiums are pushed higher. And because the consumer subsidies are far bigger than those given to insurers, that's a costly trade. Although there was another executive order issued, given to three departments that should try to do some investigations on how you can get a more, competitive pricing in the insurance industry. But back to the U.S. states that are trying to sue to block President Donald Trump's move to scrap this key component of Obamacare. The states in there, I bet you can probably guess the states that are involved: New York, California, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Connecticut. They're going to file a lawsuit in federal court in California. The states will ask the court to force Trump to make the next payment. And the administration, where their lawsuit's coming from, is the administration is not going to make the next payment to insurers that's scheduled for Wednesday. The subsidies cost $7 billion this year and were estimated at $10 billion for 2018. This is according to a congressional analyst, and it was Jeff Sessions who made the announcement that they're not going to make the payment that's scheduled for next week. Thus, we have the lawsuit. The new lawsuit would be separate from a case pending from an appeals court in the District of Columbia, in which 16 Democratic state attorneys generals are defending the legality of the payments. So we have about 10 million people that are enrolled in Obamacare through its marketplace. Most receive subsidies. Trump's action came just before the Obamacare open enrollment begins November 1st for the 2018. Now, I came across something that kind of really irritated me. Actually, it irritated me a lot. Because all we hear is about all these insurance companies are pulling out of the states. They're all whining and they're all crying, for all these government subsidies. And if they're not going to get them, it's going to increase premiums. Well, you know what? Shame on them and shame on these states for suing the president that, has taken away these subsidies, because they're making tons and tons of money. The big five health insurers have been doing just fine since Obamacare. And if you look at their stock performance, since this was signed, since Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, was signed into law March 23rd of 2010, you have Centene. They're up 742%. United Health is up 578%. WellCare, 538%. Cigna, 499%. Humana, 484%. Aetna, 452%. Molina, 355%. Anthem, 289%. Aetna and Humana had planned to merge. So did Anthem and Cigna, but both deals had died because of the antitrust concerns. These guys are making so much money.
Yep.
I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And then they come out and complain. Because
they've got to continue to play the victim. I mean,
yeah.
If they want to keep making more money, they've got to prevent people from looking at them and seeing how much profits they're making and just assume, oh, they're being victimized, they're being exploited, whatever.
So these insurance companies have been thriving in this in this mode. But they say it's because of growth. Now, get this. This is what just kind of set me off into another planet today. Because of growth in other planets of the health insurance program. So they're saying that they're thriving in spite of the uncertainty because of growth in other areas of the health insurance market, such as employer-based plans and Medicare and Medicaid. Hello? Who pays for Medicare and Medicaid? Who do you think most of these Obama health care, the Affordable Care Act, they're all under, that get subsidies, they've all been thrown into Medicaid. So they make it sound like, oh, well, we're doing business as usual, and it really isn't from that area.
No, it's not. They're making exorbitant profits.
Gosh.
I've talked about this in the past, but I saw this happen in Texas back in the 1990s when they mandated that you must have automobile insurance. All right. It used to be that automobile insurance was optional. If you wanted, fine. Didn't have it, good. That was okay, too. They made it a law that you had to have it. What happened? The price of automobile repairs went through the roof. As soon as before we had to have insurance, you could get somebody to fix your car or your bumper or whatever was damaged at a pretty reasonable price because they had to work. If they wanted to be an automobile mechanic, they had to charge prices that the average man could afford. But once they mandated insurance, automobile insurance, then if you have a wreck and you got a bump, fender bender, and it has to be repaired, the mechanic can jack the price up as high as he wants to go, and the customer doesn't really mind because it's being paid for by his insurance, which is to say all of the people in Texas are picking up a nickel or a dime on fixing somebody's bump. Right? But it doesn't directly affect the insured person significantly, and the price of automobile repairs went up dramatically. And my point is, when the government mandates insurance, you can expect the cost of the service that insurance covers to go up dramatically.
The government wasn't paying for auto insurance. That's the difference. Government wasn't paying for auto insurance.
No, I get that. I get that.
This is taxpayers' money that are making these insurance companies get bigger, wealthier. Mm-hmm. Since the Affordable Care Act. Oh, it's really affordable. Yeah, it's affordable for the CEOs. What does somebody tell me? One of the CEOs of one of the health insurance companies, I can't remember, just recently made one of the biggest annual payoffs or wages than any CEO ever. It was over $1 billion. And this is coming from, not all of it, but a large part of it is coming from taxpayers.
Did you check to see how much he contributed and who he contributed? Did he make any political campaign contributions? And to whom did he make those political campaign contributions over the last, say, 10 years?
It still wasn't worth $1 billion. I mean, but these insurance companies are, and then these states are shameless. It's these states that should go to their insurance companies, because anytime the insurance company within a state produces, I mean, it is really regulated, and it takes a lot to get rates passed and approved and so forth. And I can't believe the states aren't doing a better job. And the whole problem is even with Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, I don't even want to say Obamacare anymore, the Affordable Care Act, and yes, he's not making the next payments and so forth, but they're not doing anything to help with the, they're not addressing the health care
of the
system.
People. They're addressing the profits of special interest groups rather than the health of the American people. And there's the problem with it. The truth of the matter is health care is so bollocks stuff in this country, there's going to be a real and serious shakeout in the healthcare industry sometime over the next several years. It won't happen this week or next month or whatever, but there's going to have to be some kind of reduction where the insurance companies don't make so much money, the hospitals don't make so much money, the doctors don't make so much money. It has become unaffordable. And they've tried to get around this by subsidizing people's health insurance, and that's not working. And what they're going to have to do, and what they will be forced to do before this is done, they're going to have to cut the cost of health care. One way or another, the cost of health care has to be cut. And that means, you know, who's going to take the cut? The pharmaceutical industry, the insurance companies, the doctors, the hospitals.
Who's going to take the cut will be the people. Because what they'll do is, oh, we'll come out and we'll offer the people something. Well, you won't be able to have any pre-existing conditions. We'll drop your premiums to $200-$300 a month, but you better not get sick. You know, I mean, you know, you'll all have to be carrying. You'll have to be carrying you to your.
Don't you
we'll pay
sick.
For your funeral.
We'll cut you off. You get a hangnail, and we'll cut you off, and you'll never get another dime. You understand?
You know, and that's because there isn't. That's what will happen. And
something from Fox News, and the headline is health insurers in Florida request premium hikes as high as 71%.
Yeah.
All right. Obamacare plan premiums may increase an average of 45% in Florida next year due to health care insurers' rate hike requests, according to Florida's Office of Insurance Regulation. The highest Molina Healthcare, when they want 71.2%.
Yeah, what do they think?
People who have insured with Molina, they're going to see their average premiums increase from $402 a month to $688 a month. On average, consumers in Florida can expect their monthly premium to increase from $463 a month to $671 a month.
Yeah, but get this, Al.
This is going down the pipe. This can't continue.
Let me just finish this. Okay, Molina.
You're going to have to finish it in the next segment because I hear the music melody.
All right. We'll talk about
that
Molina.
Means we have to take a break. We'll talk about Molina when we get back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Even while we sleep, we will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
Mint State 62, $10 Liberty gold pieces. They're up $10, and I only moved them up what my wholesalers did. So that extra $10, there's really no commissions in there. So great buy, Mint State 62, $10 Liberty gold pieces, 705. It's a great time to be buying them, and buy two, free shipping on these coins. So in just a day, they went up $10. And I think things are going to become – I just want to finish up with this Molina, and then we can move on and make some other announcements that is coming
like,
across.
Did you set up a dartboard, a picture of the Molina emblem or anything like that?
No, not yet. Okay. They're up. They're whining. How much are they raising?
Well, the average is – no, the average is 45% in Florida. That's what the average – that's what they want. One of the companies wants over 71% increase. That's the highest.
So let me say this. Molina, since 2010, this is the stock performance since Obama signed the ACA into law. Molina is up 355%. And they're whining because they're not they're struggling. It recently posted a loss, announced layoffs, and just named a new CEO as it bets on the state's exchanges did not pan out. Okay, 355% increase in their stock performance didn't pan out. No,
times are tough, buddy. Can you spare a stock certificate or something?
Yeah, they didn't get 742% like Centene did, so they're struggling.
Yeah, I know. It's just not fair. Molina is one of the six insurers in Florida that they're talking about in this article that they want an average of 45% increase in one of them. Molina, which one was it? Did I say? Yeah, Molina, they're the ones that wanted a 71%.
Yeah.
71.2% increase.
It's just
highway robbery.
It is.
This is not healthcare. This is a racket. This is a racket that's legalized by a bunch of idiot politicians. And when I say idiot, I could pick up probably three or four words that were more accurate. They might not be appropriate for radio, but just calling them idiot gives them the benefit of the doubt. This is a racket. That's what's really going on here. And when this goes down, there are going to be people that are screaming, oh, we're not providing health care for the poor. Look, if you're interested in providing health care for the poor, you need to set up a health care system that is not a racket. If you're going to set up a system that's corrupt and irrational, it's going to go down. It's going to happen. And if the poor get nothing, well, it won't be a surprise, all right?
It's not even just the poor. It's everybody.
No, I know.
Everybody's being ripped off,
but they will pay. But the point is there are people who will sit back and say, oh, the poor. What about the women and the children and the poor? Hey, what about the people that are just trying to get through life? What about the majority of the American people? You know, the preamble to the Constitution, it says, among other things, that what they are supposed to do is provide for the general welfare of the people of the United States of America, all right? That doesn't say that they're supposed to provide welfare. It provides general welfare, which means not special interest legislation, all right? And the reference is there, and I don't know if you want me to pull this up or not, but here, I'll read the preamble in just a second.
Can I stop you, Al?
No, you might be able to, but we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. All right? They are there. The purpose is to promote the general welfare. It is not intended to provide special interest welfare. It's not intended to provide entitlements. It's supposed to set up a system that is the same for you, the same for me, the same for Donald Trump and his family, the same across the board. And I know that some people will get, it'll be easier for some people to access any system we set up than it is for others, but nevertheless, the truth is we should not have special interest legislation. What we should have is, look, you want to pass a law? Pass a law, and it applies to everyone equally. And if we did that, they could have Congress for probably 2 weeks out of the year. 1 week to goof off, chase their secretaries around the desk, and 1 week to actually pass a couple of laws that actually applied to the general welfare of everyone in this country. Instead, they've gone into special interest legislation and entitlements, and now they can have, you know, 24/7 legislation, you know, 365 days a year, as they come up with another idea and another idea. Let's give some money away to somebody who doesn't.
You know what? What do they do? And what they go to lunches, they go to dinners, they go to parties, they go this, they do that. And all little old Paul Ryan was saying, "Oh well, you know what? We might just have to work through the Christmas holiday to get these tax cuts."
Oh no! My gosh!
It's October 13th.
What kind of a pension program do they have?
Oh, and remember, they had to work through some of their summer holiday in August. But remember, the debt ceiling. Remember, the debt ceiling is coming. They're going to have to address that. December 16th. Yeah.
They'll put it up for until March.
Probably.
Yeah, they'll give us another 60, 90 days on the debt ceiling.
Oh, good grief.
They'll just rotate that. Just keep on. Yeah. We'll come up with another. It'll be coming around. It'll be coming due again in September of next year, and we'll still be fooling around with it. But, you know, we were talking about President Trump wants to close down the subsidies, or at least part of the subsidies that are going to Obamacare. And it may be that he has ideological reasons for doing that, but I suspect he understands he's caught in a serious bind where he can't provide the money. He doesn't have it. It's not just an idea of, gee, let's take a bite out of Obamacare. I have a hunch he's just understanding. Look, we got to cut costs because we don't have the money. I think we're technically bankrupt.
I mean, well, we've been bankrupt for a very long time, but I also believe in order for him to get any approval on his tax reform, he has to cut corners. And I think this is part of it. I mean, this is why I believe they tackled Obamacare first. And they wanted to get it done. They thought it would be a slam dunk, say a bunch of monies that we could tax, that we could start working on the tax reform and the tax cuts. And so I think it's a big deal. They're trying to find revenue. And I mean, this payment scheduled for this coming Wednesday is $10 billion. It costs $7 billion a year. In the scheme of things, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it's something.
No, it doesn't. It's a week.
But it's something.
Less than a week. It's 3-4 days on the quantitative easing when they were handing out $80 billion a month under quantitative easing for the Great Recession. This translates into something like 3 days. Not a big deal.
But I still think, you know, some revenue is better than no revenue. I don't think
they can increase revenue, though. They have a problem.
No, they can't.
They've been promising they're going to cut taxes.
They have to reduce.
How can they say, we're going to, in order to support the system and reduce taxes, we have to raise taxes, we have to raise revenue? Nobody's going to buy that. I mean, it will be such an obvious hypocrisy that I don't think the Republicans can get away with it. And I think they understand that. They can't increase revenue, in my opinion. That means they have to cut costs.
I don't think they're looking to. They might increase revenue, but they're just trying to free up some revenue. So it's pretty much
the only way they can do this
program and move it to this program is what they're doing.
Yeah, they can juggle it a little bit, but still, there's only so much. The pie is only.
So he's out there looking for some, you know, way to find some revenue.
Well, they can't get revenue, but they might be able to borrow more. Mm-hmm. Right, that's what they've done through the Great Recession.
But if you think we're bankrupt, that means their ability.
Borrowing more. And, maybe, it may be Trump will try to do the same now.
And maybe they're at the point where they can't borrow anymore.
So I know. They're going to be sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
Yep.
And thus, they're trying to find some revenue to juggle.
They've already been at the point where they can't borrow more revenue. This went down 6 years ago anyway, maybe in that vicinity. 6-7 years ago, there was a moment when the government had an auction for its treasury bonds, and they had you private people came up there, normally bought the treasury bonds, and said, yay, this is a safe haven, and the rest of that. And the buyers up there would not pay anything close to the face value of the bond. They wanted steep discounts on the bonds. And what the government did is just shut the auction down before they wouldn't sell any bonds to anybody, because if they did, they'd create a record that the free market thought the bonds were only worth 60-70% of the face value. And they couldn't afford that because it would impact the face value, the presumed face value of bonds that were tucked away in pension funds and bank accounts and safety deposit boxes and the rest of it. So they stopped the auction, and that's when they called in the Federal Reserve and said, you guys have to be the lender of last resort. You have to pay basically full price on these bonds in order to maintain the illusion. The point I'm making is that they've already hit the wall. 6 years ago anyway, maybe seven, I'm not sure how long ago, it was in that vicinity where the private investors of the world said, we're not buying your bonds. Are you crazy? And they had to push the obligation to buy the bonds onto the Federal Reserve and said, welcome to the high finance, Federal Reserve. You're going to get to pay basically 100% on bonds, which anybody with a brain head knows aren't worth it. They're not worth that much. But the Federal Reserve did it. We maintained the illusion. Are we going to see another episode where the government is going to try to get private investors to buy its bonds? I mean, again, if they can't raise taxes, they didn't really raise taxes to speak of during the Obama administration. What they did is they raised more borrowing. We'll leave the debt to the kids and the grandkids. All right? We didn't raise more revenue. We borrowed more money against our children's futures. Can they do that again? I don't think they can raise taxes. I'm not even sure they can. I know the Federal Reserve doesn't want to buy any more U.S. bonds. I can't say I know it for God, for an absolute truth, but I believe Federal Reserve is part of the reason they're trying to get rid of the bonds. We don't want any more. We've got enough of these idiot bonds. And they're going to have a problem trying to sell them. How do they sell the bonds into the private market unless they rig the market and they get Goldman Sachs or somebody to buy the bonds and seemingly pay full face value or nearly full face value for the bonds, not much of a discount on them, and maintain the illusion that the bonds are still worth basically 100 cents on the dollar? How are they going to do that with private investors? And I think the Federal Reserve is going to see its balance sheet grow again, or what? What's going to happen? We are just caught at that moment when, you know, it's like a guy who's been using his MasterCard to pay off his Visa to pay off his American Express. You can feel pretty clever. You say, I maxed out my American Express, but don't worry about it. I'm paying it off with my Visa. And it seems pretty smart until you get to the point, oops, I've maxed out my Visa. Well, now I'm going to be paying off my Visa with my MasterCard. Well, sooner or later, you're going to run out of credit cards. And you are headed in a direction that's going to take you into bankruptcy. And one way or another, there's going to be a significant default on government debt. There is going to be, whether they are expressly declared to be bankrupt or how they go around this, I don't know, but that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a moment when everybody says, uh-oh, the emperor really is nude. He doesn't have any clothes on.
Let's go ahead. Today, also Trump, today, accused Iran of violating the spirit of the landmark 2015 nuclear deal, blaming it for a litany of malign behavior and hitting its main military wing with anti-terrorism sanctions. But Trump, breaking with a campaign pledge to rip up the agreement, he's going to keep it. He stopped short of withdrawing from the accord, but decertified his support for the agreement and left it in the fate of Congress, in the hands of Congress.
Oh, now I feel better about it. I feel better about it already.
Trump said that in the agreement, which defenders say was only ever meant to curtail their nuclear program in return for sanctions relief, had failed to address Iranian subversion in its region and its illegal missile program. The U.S. President said he supports efforts in Congress to work on new measures to address these threats without immediately torpedoing the broader deal. However, in the event we're not able to reach a solution working with Congress and our allies, then the agreement will be terminated. And it is under continuous review, and our participation can be canceled by me as president at any time. Simultaneously, the U.S. Treasury said it had taken action against the Islamic Revolutionary Guards under a 2001 executive order to hit sources of terror funding and added four companies that allegedly support the group to its sanctions list. So
what does Trump really said? He said, well, I'm not going to terminate, but I could if I wanted to. I don't know. Has anything changed? This is like me taking the opportunity to use this program to explain to people that tomorrow is Saturday. Is that news?
I think what it could have been if he had actually pulled it. And that's how it was all leading up to today, was that he was thinking about actually pulling out of the agreement, and I think the feedback from it was so strong he couldn't. So, hey, I'll just give it to Congress and his supporters.
Here's a tar baby. Merry Christmas.
Alfred.
All right, we're giving you a tar baby for
Al.
Christmas.
But, Al. And so I think pretty much that's what happened. So we'll see what happens with Congress. If this is, I don't know, I can't remember if they do the certification quarterly, I believe. So we got a few months, end of the year, to see if he does anything else. But
This is like the Ziegfeld Follies or something like that. This whole thing is
attitude,
I suppose.
It isn't like it's a little bitty country like I don't know, but
all right, we're going to take a break, and we will be back to talk about Congress when we return on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article here from Fox News. And the headline, now this is an interesting article, not that it's all that incredibly interesting on it by itself, but it points to a possibility that is almost delightful. All right, I'm not saying this is going to happen, I'm not saying it's going to pan out, but oh my gosh, maybe it could happen. GOP Representative Collins calls Democrats slaughter, despicable human being, over ethics charges. Following continued scrutiny on the House Ethics Committee over alleged insider stock trading, Representative Chris Collins, Republican in New York, called Congresswoman who filed the ethics charges against him a, quote, despicable human being. A rare moment of coarse language used by a U.S. congressman to describe a colleague. All right? I think this is wonderful. Representative Louise Slaughter, Democrat of New York, filed ethics charges against Collins with the Office of Congressional Ethics, an independent watchdog group, a move that Collins called a witch hunt. A 29-page report from the Office of Congressional Ethics was submitted to the House Ethics Committee, which determined there is a substantial reason to believe, right, that Collins shared non-public information about an Australian biotech company, Innate Immunotherapeutics Limited. Right? Non-public information. It means people in Congress, they know some stuff about these corporations that's not available to the public. Right. Well, Congressman Collins allegedly shared this non-public information with others, and they were able to use that non-public information to have an advantage. It was insider training, essentially. Collins disputed the findings, saying he has always followed ethics, as we know all congressmen do. They're all very ethical people, and many of them can even spell the word ethics and give you a definition of it. When asked about the allegations against him, he said, nothing of substance is there at all. Pay no attention to the little man behind the curtain. Actually, he didn't say the little man behind the curtain. That was not his remark. That was mine. But it parallels. Nothing of substance there at all. He's disappointed with the Ethics Committee. He believes the Office of Congressional Ethics has no authority. Slaughter, all right, this is the Democrat, authored 2012 Stock Act, which deals with lawmakers using special information for financial gain, and the markets filed charges against Collins to the Office of Congressional Ethics in response to a June story from The Hill. It was reported that Collins bragged he helped other members of Congress make money by tipping them off about Innate Stocks. Innate is the name of this corporation down in Australia. He bragged about it, all right? And the woman who'd authored a bill that was supposed to prevent this sort of thing, she charged him because he said, hey, I've been helping other congressmen make money by, I told him how to invest in this Australian stock. He goes on, he says, she's on a witch hunt. She's a despicable human being, Collins said of Slaughter. You don't go after another member of the House. In other words, they have a code of omerta, silence. Now, it's not like the mafia. This is different. When we say that House members can't go after House members, it's not like the mafia's code of omerta. No. This is ethical that you can't report another crook in the cat house on the Potomac. I look at this, and I look at this story, and it is something that delights me, not because I have anything against Collins or for Slaughter, the lady who filed this stuff. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the people in Congress who professed to be ethical and honorable and honest, actually blew the whistle on the rest of the crooks and gangsters that are there in Congress and in the Senate. You can't work in that cat house without knowing who is prostituting themselves. And even if you can sit back and say, I am a congressman, and I am honorable, and I haven't taken any bribes, and I have integrity, and I'm on, okay, fine. When are you going to blow the whistle on the rest of the crooks up there in the cat house? And this is the first time I've seen it. Somebody in Congress has blown the whistle on another congressman, and he's complained about it. He says, you don't go after another member of the House. The Code of Omerta is being violated. Well, maybe, just maybe, this is one of those leaves in the breeze, a sign that the polarization, the divisiveness that's allegedly up there in Congress and in the Senate, the political separation and antagonism that's there between the two parties and whatever, maybe it's going to go beyond just calling each other doo-doo heads. Maybe it's going to go beyond insults, and they're going to actually say, hey, you have actually committed some crimes. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have happen? I mean, if we actually had the House and the Senate cleaning their own house and eliminating the corrupt members, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have happen? I'm not going to predict. I'm not crazy enough to say that this one story means it will happen, but it might. Maybe it will. So I sit back and I say, yay.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you something. I don't want to blow your bubble.
Well, I'm not waiting, not holding my breath.
Let me say something. If it wasn't the time that we were in, this probably wouldn't even be news. But you have a liberal Democrat going after a conservative Republican. So we have an election next year. So, you know, I believe this being done is mainly politics elections and so forth. But, you know, we'll see. Let's, you know, follow this and see what happens and see
I'm
if it goes anywhere.
Good motives to Collins that says there's nothing wrong here. I haven't done a thing. I'm very ethical. I'm not attributing, you know, good motives to him or to Ms. Slaughter who charged him, who filed the complaint against him. But I am encouraged. Wouldn't it be nice if this really broke down to where they started exposing, the two sides started accusing each other of actual crimes ethical violations and whatever. I think
it'd be interesting to know, they're both New York, so it'd be interesting to see if they're in the same, or, you know, how.
They're probably pretty close, and who knows which one or both of them wants to go for senator. I don't know if there's a Senate seat open from New York next year, but maybe so, who knows.
But, anything's possible during or prior to an upcoming election.
I understand that.
Well, that's the way I see it. I just don't have as much hope in the system as you do. But it is interesting. You know, you know what's more disgusting and despicable about this whole thing is that they have non-public information to where they become wealthy, regardless of who tatted on who, ratted out on who, and so forth. They're there making, you know, millions of dollars, non-public information.
Yep.
And it's like, really?
This isn't news. I mean, most of the people listening will recall that, I don't know, in the neighborhood of 8-10 years ago, Hillary Clinton, maybe it was more than that, Hillary Clinton, I think it was while she was Secretary of State, she made $100,000 on a single transaction in the stock market. What was it, the commodities market? I guess it was the commodities market. And she invested something like $10,000 and made $100,000 off the deal. Well, it was exposed, and she didn't say much about it. But if I could make that much money in the stock market, I wouldn't be doing this radio program. And if she could make that much money, she could invest 10 and make 100. She would not be Secretary of State. She'd be down there raking in all the money. And the point is, somebody told her, Hillary, you want to make a fast $100,000? Here's how you do it. We're going to give you a stock tip or a commodities tip. You invest $10,000, you make $100,000, and we're using the markets to effectively pay our bribes. If we don't give you money, we give you stock tips. And then you take $10,000 and you invest it on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, guess what? You'll have $100,000. And people say, golly, are you lucky? Or golly, are you smart? But we don't even, there is no money trail to follow. You know, they used to say, follow the money trail. Well, yeah, you can do that. But here's the point. If you can give people stock tips, if you can give them insider information, there is no money trail to follow. All right? Congressman or one special interest or another gives one congressman a stock tip, and the congressman makes $100,000. Okay, we can trace that back to where? The stock market, or maybe the commodities market. We don't have a trail that leads back to the guy that provided the information. So it's a modern way, new and important way, a cleaner way of passing out bribes, Melody.
Right? In fact, Hillary,
the days of bribing congressmen and senators with filthy money, filthy lucre. Those days are gone. We do it the modern way. We give them stock tips, which is also an indication insofar as that's true. All right.
Actually,
and we can only speculate how true that might be. But insofar as it is true, it's evidence that the stock market is rigged. You understand? You can't hand out a stock tip and tell people, look, put in 10 grand and you'll make 10 and you'll make 100,000.
She put in 1,000.
All right, 1,000.
That's even worse.
What a great investor. Gee. I wish I was smart enough to make $100,000. That's like, it's hard. That's almost as good at getting the right number in the lottery. You know, you put in a couple of dollars, you get a couple of million. What it really points to, though, is that the market is rigged. And there are people in positions of power, and it's not new. This has been going on for a considerable period of time. They're in a position, they know what the market's going to be today, tomorrow, whatever. 3 o'clock this afternoon, they know what it's going to be. Invest at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 4 o'clock, you can make a killing. Right? Stay on our side. You know, be one of the gangsters, be one of the racketeers, and you can get fabulously wealthy, too.
We're just about out of time now. We got a few
more
minutes.
About 3 minutes, Melody.
Those fires are still going strong in California. It's just amazing. Looters, they're stealing things from the firefighters. They found men with burglary tools. They were arrested. You know, 31 people are dead. 460 plus are missing. And I heard one comment coming from there that, I mean, all they're finding in these homes, these people are they're just bones and ashes.
Yeah.
They were able to identify one person because they had a hip replacement, and you know the metal of your hip had the number on it to where they could track it. It's terrible. Some of the pictures that you see are just unbelievably horrible, and you know. And in this country of looters, it's just,
it's one of the things that happens. I mean, the fundamental problem this country has is probably not something to do with our economy in the normal sense of the word. It's not about how many plants that we have that will make steel or automobiles or whatever. It's not about that. There's a moral problem in this country, which is easy to say, and a lot of people say it, but it appears that maybe it's true. Our problem is a system of values, a failure, and we see it in Congress, and we see it in the fires in California. We got looters down there, we have looters up in Congress. And who's doing anything about it? People just wink. You know, pretty funny. Just ripped off the system for 100 grand.
It's been going on for a long time.
I know. It's human nature.
It used to be a joke.
Whether you tolerate it or you do something about it is part of the problem. And we're tolerating, maybe even encouraging, but we're not doing anything to.
I remember
to get rid of the most serious looters in our
and you're right, because everybody just winks.
I know.
You know, it used to be that politicians all, you know, he like wink wink. Oh, he's a politician, they all like wink wink. What's his name? The one that's getting all
Weinstein
Harvey. You know, everybody knew about it. Wink wink.
I know.
You know?
I know, that's the thing
and
about it.
And this has been going on
for
30 years.
All right, 30 years.
Or longer.
And no one has done anything
and
about
he's
it,
not
including the
only
victims.
One. He's not the only one.
No, I'm sure he's not. I mean, this is part of a cultural problem, a system. There's a problem with values here. And everybody's just winking. It's just ha, ha, ha. It's all, you know, people talk about it a little bit. But no one is outraged.
No.
We can feign outrage, right? But very few people are genuinely outraged by this circumstance. And I don't know. That's we have lost our capacity for moral outrage, and it's maybe something that we have to regain before we can be prosperous, you know, effective in a way where we become treat each other fairly. Because if we don't, somebody's going to scream bloody murder, and other people are going to care. Right now, it's Black Lives Matter, for example. Oh, really? Who does it matter to? It doesn't even matter to blacks to speak of. All right, and the same thing goes on. We generate these organizations, and they generate, send us some money, and we're gonna support one issue or another. And the truth is, it seems like all of it's just a racket. Who really cares? Who really cares? I don't know.
Well, I care about the listeners and people to protect their savings, their 401s, their IRAs, and we got this great deal today on Men's State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. So if you haven't begun to purchase gold and silver, now's the time to do it. If you need some fractional pieces, it's a great time to be buying these Men's State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces at $705, still lower than the $20 gold pieces if you purchase two of them. 800-375-4188.
Okay, we'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
If I got me a wealthy man.